Date was June 18th, 2017, approximately 6:15 p.m. in Winnipeg. Emergency services personnel responded to reports of a male down in the front yard of a residence of the 600 block of Richard Avenue. The male, who was transported to hospital, however, subsequently was pronounced dead. The victim, identified as William George Sumner, age 27, Winnipeg's 12th homicide of the year. We live in a culture of death. With 604 known murders in 2015 across Canada, 47 of those happened in Manitoba. As bad as that is, I am thankful that I do not live in Chicago, because Chicago had 762 murders in 2016 alone. It saw a surge of gun violence in 2016. There was 3,550 shooting incidents, and of those, there was 4,331 victims in 1 year. Have you noticed that murder has become a central source of our entertainment industry as well? According to Philip Ryken, president of Wheaton College, he says, by the time the average child finishes elementary school, he or she has watched 8,000 televised murders and 100,000 acts of on-screen violence. And when we come to the sixth commandment, we lament the loss of life all around us, while at the same time most of us breathe a sigh of relief, because we don't think that this prohibition against murder applies to us. It applies to us, but it doesn't ever going to affect us, because we're never going to do it. Very few of us are murderers, right? Oh, we'll learn differently today. Before we get too far, you guys got fingers ready? Let's do our Ten Commandments. I almost want to call Kennedy up here because she's excited about these. Commandment number one, one finger. What does it mean? One God. Commandment number two, do not bow down to idols. Commandment number three, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Commandment number four, have a Sabbath rest. Commandment number five, honor your mother and father. Commandment number six, don't murder. Commandment number seven, do not commit adultery. Commandment number eight, don't steal. Commandment number nine, do not bear false witness. And commandment number 10, don't covet. We're getting there. Lots of participation. This is great. I love it. Our verse for today is short but packed full. Verse 13 of Exodus 20 reads, you shall not murder. This is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. It is true. You can argue with me all you want, but it is the shortest verse in the entire Bible, because it is two Hebrew words made up of five letters. It is shorter than any other verse. And yet, I've got an entire half hour stuff on it. It's two words literally translated, no murder. A total of, six Hebrew letters. I was lying to you, I apologize. Six Hebrew letters, which translate in the Hebrew, are lo terash. This command is stated in the strongest negative possible, just like seven of the other commandments. As far as I know, every culture has some sort of law against murder. And this command deals with murder, not killing. There is confusion about this because of the King James Version. They went and decided to translate it as what? Thou shalt not kill. There are 8 different words for killing in the Hebrew. The word here is used to refer to the unlawful killing, the unjust taking of a legal, innocent life. Webster defines it like this: the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. Now, in order to understand the principle behind the commandment, I want to ask a few questions. Why is this commandment in God's top 10 list? Why was it given? What's behind it? Well, men and women are made in the image of God, and therefore they have great dignity and worth, according to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 27 it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." Perhaps you've heard that Latin phrase, imago Dei, which means the image of God. Well, here's the deal, folks. Every human being has inherent value, independent of their utility or function. It means that human life is sacred to our sovereign God because He is the giver and the sustainer of life. Human beings belong to God, and we are accountable to Him if we take someone's life. In Genesis 9, we see how highly God regards human life. In verse 6, He says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God, God made man." Folks, every person you meet is an image bearer of God. It doesn't matter what the person does or doesn't do. He or she is stamped with God's dignity. Every individual has a soul and therefore carries a sense of sacredness about them. So to take another life is to assault the sacredness of the image of God. What this means is that when we are made in the image of God, everyone is valued by God. We are made of the same flesh as others, and therefore we are, in fact, our brother's keeper. And the sooner that we can accept this and put it into practice, the better. Essentially, because people matter to God, they must matter to us, no matter who they are. Everyone has value to God, so we must also value one another. If that's the only thing you get from today, I'm happy. If you get more than that, I'll be happier. With that principle in mind, here are some prohibitions that come from this commandment. For the sake of time, I'm not going to address what the Bible teaches about capital punishment, warfare, accidental homicide. I'm not going to talk about self-defense, though these would make great sermons all in themselves. We just don't have time for all of that this morning, unless you guys want me to. We could be here till 3 or 4. No? Okay. Almost like you, yeah? I got one. Okay, let's do it. No. Let's look at the prohibitions from the commandment as we go back to the very beginning, to the Genesis, and see how sin brings separation from God and how mankind ends up marked by murder. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and following, we read this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now we know that Adam and Eve sinned and death became their destiny. And I want to look at a couple of different prohibitions. The first is murder itself. In the very next chapter, we see how anger caused Cain to murder his brother Abel. And God gave him a warning and an encouragement to turn away, but instead of being his brother's keeper, he became his brother's killer. And I want you to note how his anger ultimately turned him into an assassin. In Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 6, it says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.'" Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. God warned him, "Don't do it. I know what's in your heart. I know where you're going. I know what's on. Don't do it. If you do what's right, you will be accepted." Later on in chapter 4, there's a man named Lamech, one of Cain's descendants. He's marked as a murderer and even brags about how much better he is at it than Cain. In verse 23, it says, "I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Murder and mayhem are now unleashed on our sin-soaked world. And the rest of the Bible contains so much murder that it would take us the entire year to just begin to scratch the surface. So let me just quote a proverb for you. Proverbs 6, verse 16. "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood." Because people matter to God, they must matter to us. And the second prohibition that I want to talk about this morning, under the topic of murder, is abortion. And while many believe that this is a political issue that should not be discussed in church, and I've been told that myself, the truth of the matter is that abortion is the premeditated taking of a human life. The preborns are stamped with divine dignity, and therefore abortion is murder and a violation of this sixth commandment. But our culture is so confused and conflicted about the protection of life. I don't really want to get into the whole debate of the seal hunt, but let me just throw this out for instance. Or for example, in 2016, 66,800 seals were killed. And yet there's a far greater outcry about the 66,000 seals than there are of the 100,000 abortions. What a disconnect. Incidentally, if you're aware of the one-child policy in China that has led to 400 million forced abortions in the past 30 years. 400 million. That is more than 10 times the entire population of Canada. And I could go on and on. So much more could be said about this, but let's say what the scriptures have to say. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Psalm 139. Now I need to say this. If you have had an abortion, there is forgiveness and healing available through Jesus Christ. And Maranatha is to be a place of grace where we help you process your pain and help you walk through this with you. We will never encourage it, but we will always be there for you. Because the preborn matter to God, they must matter to us. Now, the third prohibition I want to talk about this morning is the suicide. The rate of suicide has been increasing every year to just over 4,000 self-murders reported in Canada in 2015. And these don't account for any of those things that we're now calling doctor-assisted suicides. Those who are aged 45 to 54 have the highest number of 975. And sadly, I read that there are more than four times as many who end up hospitalized after failed attempts, which puts us up to at least 16,000 people. Suicide is not the unforgivable sin, but it is sinful, and it is a selfish murder. Some of you may be experiencing the pain of having someone close to you take their life. Some of you may have contemplated it on your own in the past, or maybe you are right now because you are hurting so bad. So bad that you feel that you need to hurt yourself. Discouragement, despair, depression are making you think of things that maybe you've never said to anyone else. But because you matter to God, you matter to us. No matter how bleak things look, don't take the only life God has given you. Reach out to someone. Don't be afraid to get the help that you need. Because you are loved by God and you are loved by us. Now, Jesus added one more prohibition. He added this one called hatred in the heart. If you're feeling a bit smug because so far this commandment hasn't touched you yet, hasn't messed with you, well, let's move to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read there when Jesus says, You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Hitting a little closer to home there, isn't it? Because Jesus here is moving from the fruit of murder to the root of murder. And this is not the word used for the occasional flare-up, but rather refers to a smoldering anger on the inside that is nurtured and not allowed to die. It's used to describe coals that have been left in a fire that has no flames left. It carries with it the idea of holding a grudge that leads to resentment that refuses reconciliation. And then Jesus moves to spoken animosity. Anger in the heart has a way of coming up through our words. To refer to someone as raca means to call them an empty head or an idiot. And this offense was serious because it landed a person before the Sanhedrin, which is the equivalent of the Jewish Supreme Court. I am guilty of often calling someone a moron, or dumb, or that should put me in the Supreme Court. according to this. So if you're calling people idiots or morons, remember that's not how God sees the person who was made in His image. In fact, at one point I wanted to buy a t-shirt that said, I didn't think the world could get any dumber, but every day I'm proven wrong. I'm glad I didn't buy that shirt, actually. But the final assault is a verbal assassination. And that's when the attack becomes on someone's character. And the use of fool in the Bible refers to someone morally and spiritually bankrupt. It's the equivalent of saying that a person deserves to go to hell. Which Jesus turns around and says that if we are the ones who are saying it, then we are the ones who deserve to go to hell. If we commit homicide with our tongues. James says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in His likeness. To allow anger to seethe and then to attack verbally and then to destroy someone's reputation is equal to murder, and it is a violation of the sixth commandment. So instead of fighting with each other, Jesus wants us to forgive one another. Because people matter to God, they must matter to us. Well, that's a whole lot of negative. So let's end on a positive. Can there be a positive in murder? Well, most of us will never murder someone in the technical sense of the word. We will never take someone else's life. We can still break the commandment in a variety of ways. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Heidelberg Confession. Yeah? Didn't think so. Anybody heard of it? Well, the Heidelberg Confession or Catechism puts it like this: I am not to dishonor, hate, injure, or kill my neighbor by thoughts, words, or gestures, much less by deeds. See, since people matter to God, they must matter to us. And as such, this commandment is deeply about how we view and treat people. And because we do live in a culture of death, we must cultivate a view of the sanctity of life. We're prohibited from taking life, and we must also protect life. And far more than refraining from violence, we must learn to value the way God values by taking positive action. Because sometimes all it takes to break the sixth commandment is to do nothing at all. So here are some ways that we can live out the heart of this command. First of all, love your neighbor. Oh, so easy to say, isn't it? So easy to say, love your neighbor. Spurgeon wrote, it is a good rule never to look into the face of man in the morning until you have looked into the face of God. Is there anyone that you are refusing to love right now? Are you ignoring someone you're in a disagreement with? How would things change if you would work at seeing people the way God sees that person? It doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they've done. Love your neighbor. Secondly, avoid racial, ethnic, economic, political, and any other prejudices. I have three words to say about all of that. Knock it off. Just stop it. Avoid them. Number three, support the local crisis pregnancy center. If you want more information about that, she's not in here right now, but she's teaching our kids. Talk to Julie. She knows all about that. She can point you in the right direction, who to talk to. Support them. Number four, donate to Winnipeg Harvest or start putting a shoebox together. It's already July. We got to start thinking Christmas. Number five, support those who have special needs. And I know that this is a priority here at Maranatha. But there are so many people in this world that have special needs, and they are special to us because we have all been created in the image of God. Whether you were created with legs that work or not, you just get cool wheels. Whether you've created with a mind that works well or not, God has given you life, and you are created in His image. Never, ever think of yourself as second. God loves you so much that He created you and gives you breath every single day. But most of all, we need to share the gospel of life with people who are dead in their sins. Every person is created in the image of God and is worth so much to Him that Jesus was willing to lay down His life that they might have eternal life. Folks, people are so valuable because they are made in the image of God, and people matter because the price Jesus paid to forgive them. Several years ago, there was an entertainer and atheist named Gillette Penn. And he does a video blog, and he was given a Bible after one of his shows. And the guy just gave it to him, thanked him for the show, said it was really great. Said, read the Bible. It'll change your life. And he wrote a video, or put on a video blog, and he says, in this video blog, he says, talking about Christians. And he says, this is what I don't understand about Christians. If your child were to run out into a busy street, would you just stand there and watch? Of course you wouldn't. And as a Christian, how much do you have to hate someone to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them about it? That's from an atheist. He says, I've been told about it, I just don't care. Put the Bible off to the side. He's still an atheist to this day. But how much do you have to hate someone to know that that person is going to hell and you keep your mouth quiet? Folks, if we know that a person is on the road to eternal destruction and we don't tell them the good news of the gospel, we are not participating in his spiritual death, are we not? Ultimately, we don't have a crime problem. We don't have a gun problem or even a violence problem in this world. What we have is a sin problem. It doesn't matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. Because you matter to God. Jesus went to the cross for you, and He died for you. He willingly allowed Himself to be murdered for you. And that is the greatest positive that we can take out of murder. That Jesus died for you. Maybe you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. But I'm asking you today, if you've never done that, don't wait. Because He has done everything for you. He wants to forgive you. He's calling your name. He's saying, hey Dave, listen up, I'm calling you. Accept the gift of salvation. Declare me Lord. So if you've never done that, I ask you to do that today. Make him your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us your word. And Father, I thank you that we can have salvation through your Son. That he died, that he was murdered on our behalf. That we might not need be put to death for our sins. Lord Jesus, I declare you my Lord and Savior today. And I pray that there would be no one here that leaves this building today who does not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, help us to live out this commandment. Not just in the literal way, but in all ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.